We're continuing in the book of Joshua, and we are tonight coming to chapter 20, and we've been observing how the Lord has been bringing his people into the land, and the promised land, Canaan, the promised land, a picture of where God wanted his people in the Old Testament. It was a place where there were battles, and we observed how they came into this land, and the Lord had to lead and to guide them to conquer the enemies, to subdue the land. They had the central campaign, and then they went to the southern campaign and the northern campaign, and now little by little that they've conquered and subdued and divided and distributed the land, which we finished last week as they finally, the final seven tribes got their places inside the land. We come to a short chapter tonight where the Lord gives a command to Joshua, and he says in Joshua 20, verse 1, "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee into one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, then shall they take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth-Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation." All right. The land has been settled. The land has been divided. And the Lord says, we're not finished until we do one last little bit of business here in my nation. These cities of refuge, as he said, I want you to appoint these cities of refuge, verse 2, "whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses." This was something that was given in the Mosaic Law back in the book of Numbers in chapter 35, verses 9 through 34, where it was explained that there would be cities of refuge when they came into the land. And these cities would be a place where someone could flee the avenger of blood. Now, this is the way it worked back in the nation of Israel. It worked according to the decree of God, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 9, that whosoever sheds man's blood, by the hand of man shall his blood be shed. The Lord wanted to establish capital punishment as part of government, the primary function of government given in Genesis chapter 9, a function that God has never abrogated or retracted. Even to this day, we learn in the book of Acts and the book of Romans and the books of Peter that God continues to give unto government the authority to be his ministers, has to revenge unto death anyone that kills a creature made in the image of God. Life is sacred to God. Life is sacred. Amen. Respect life. All forms of life. From the littlest babe in the womb. Well, how do I know when that child is alive? Well, is it alive the day it's born? Yes. Was it alive the day before it was born? Yes. Was it alive the day before that? How far back can you go? Where do you define when it stopped being alive? What day is that? Can you define that day? Probably all the way back to conception. Before conception, it was not alive. At the moment of conception, that child is alive in the eyes of God. Amen. Precious in the sight of God. Precious in the womb, precious coming out of the womb. Made in the image of God. No one has the right to take the life of a creature made in the image of God except for God himself. And if someone does take that life, then God says, I've given a minister government, and it's government's job to now take the life of the one that committed that murder. And yet the Lord in his wisdom understood that there would be times when a person would be killed by another person, and it was not murder. It was accidental. It was homicide. It was a form of negligent manslaughter where no forethought or malice was in there. Two men are working on the wall at Jerusalem, and they're doing the work that God would have them to do. And the one man is helping the other roll one of those stones into place, and he loses his grip, and the stone falls on his fellow worker and kills him. It was an accident. Now, the way it worked in the nation of Israel is that the avengers of blood, God had committed to the tribes themselves. So if someone from the tribe of Gad had just been killed, someone in a particular family of the tribe of Gad had just lost the breadwinner in that family, and the brothers and the uncles and the nephews determined to carry out the vengeance of God as rightly defined, this man who committed this accident had a city of refuge where he could flee. And these cities of refuge were distributed throughout the land. These cities of refuge were always high on a hill or on a mountain. They were meant to be in a region. As a matter of fact, we were reading them. Let's go back to where we are, verse 7. They appointed Kedesh in Galilee, way up here in the northern region, Galilee of the Gentiles, as it came to be known, way up there at that red dot, K, there's Kedesh. They appointed the region of Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and you move down into the region of Manasseh and Ephraim, and right in the center of it, there's Shechem, right in the mid-range there of Manasseh and Ephraim. And then further down, they appointed Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And here I have the region of Judah, and right in the center is Hebron. And so the Lord had these cities located centrally in each region, had them lifted up on a mountain in each region, so that whenever an accident like this occurred, wherever this man was, he was within a one-day journey to this place. Wherever he was, he could look from any region and see that mountain. And the people that kept that particular city, whether it be the Judeans in Hebron, or the Ephraimites in Shechem, or the Naphtalis up in Kedesh, that was their duty to keep that city well lit at all times. A city that could not be hid, lifted up, lit on a hill, with the gates open at all times, with provision made on the inside, ready to receive someone that's fleeing from the avenger of blood. What a blessing. A place of sanctuary, of refuge, Now, the conditions, of course, they had to keep the roads clean at all times. This was part of the requirement. There would be no obstacles in the road. It would be an easy way to come to this city lit on a hill that was seen everywhere. The same thing on the other side, Jordan. Even on the other side, Jordan, the Lord had appointed three other cities. Here, in the midst of the Reubenites, here in the Reuben, Gad, in the midst of the Gadites, and here in the midst of the Manassites. And I'm not sure that these are exact. It may have been down a little. The maps are not perfect. One of the things we'll learn, perfect history, when the Lord teaches us in the millennium, I must admit. But we understand the concept. He has the cities on both sides so that the sinner can flee. Now, what he has to do as he's fleeing the Avenger of Blood, notice verse 4. And when he that doth flee into one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city. He was required to make a confession. The elders held him until confession was made. He had to be willing to humble himself and declare his cause to those elders before he would be admitted into the cities of refuge. And then, when they heard that cause, it said, give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the Avenger of Blood, a member of that tribe where that man had been killed, pursue after him, they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and he hated him not before time. Why is that? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Judge not according to appearance, Jesus said, but make righteous judgment. Reaching into the heart. How do you know the heart? Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A heart that speaks with haughtiness and pride betrays itself. Thy words bewrayeth thee, as they said. However, a heart with humility and contrition gives a soft answer which turns away wrath. And so you can tell by the manner in which one speaks. And here's the penitent, humble person fleeing, making confession. And here are the members of this city being ordered by God through Moses and Joshua to make a place for him, to have plenty of food, to welcome him in, to welcome this fleeing sinner in the midst of them. What a great set of civil law God has worked out for his nation Israel. So we see historically how the Lord has worked this out. Now, the historical picture is beautiful, but as you begin to study the names of these cities, you begin to see that the doctrinal picture is a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you look at these cities, for example, let's take a look at the names. I'll explain what they mean, and you'll see Christ in the names. Verse 7, they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali. Kedesh means holy. The Jews had a term that the rabbis would use, Ruach HaKodesh. HaKodesh, the holy, Ruach, spirit. The term, the Holy Spirit, Kedesh, HaKodesh, the spirit that is holy. The Bible says in Acts 4:27, for of a truth, thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Acts 4:30, that the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Kedesh speaks of holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Father is holy, holy Father. The Spirit is holy, Holy Spirit. And the one in the middle, the Son of God, who brings the grace of salvation to this world, is holy. And so we see the holiness in that name there. Kedesh is in Galilee. Galilee means the circle. Isaiah 40, verse 22 says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as the grasshoppers. It is he that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. The holiness speaks of Jesus. The fact that he's the one that sits on the circle of the earth today at the right hand of the Father, looking down on the hearts of men, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoicing as a strong man to run a race, his going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof and from the sight of our Lord. The circle, the Holy One, that runs as the bridegroom around the circle of the earth, looking to and fro. It's found where? In a place called Mount Naphtali. Naphtali means wrestlings. What does the Lord Jesus Christ do? As the strong man, he runs this race around the circle of the earth, and he looks to and fro through every heart. What he does is he wrestles, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he, the man, wrestled with Jacob. What does the Lord do? Well, he comes out and he looks for those that are ready for a wrestling match to humble themselves to the truth of the Word of God, just as Jacob did that one night. And Jacob finally admitted, my name is Jacob. I'm just a deceiver. I'm just a sinner. And in the midst of that wrestling match, God says, thou hast prevailed and become a prince because you've taken the low place and given me my due high place next to you. Kedesh, holy, Galilee, the circle, Naphtali, the wrestlings, as the man goes forth to wrestle with the hearts of the earth. Praise God, he does that. Wrestled with my heart in 1993. Yeah. You know what I did? I laid down and gave up.
Yeah.
You know what happened? I was born again.
Yeah.
I won the victory when I gave up.
Yeah.
You want to win? Give up.
Yeah.
Let God win.
Amen.
You win. You also see the names in the midst of verse 7. Shechem in Mount Ephraim. Shechem means shoulder. Of course, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 22:22 tells us, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. And right there at the city of refuge, when one comes, the one whose government is on his shoulder either opens the door or shuts the door based on the confession of the one at the door.
Amen.
Shechem, where is it? Shechem is in Mount Ephraim. Ephraim means fruit. And he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root, and Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Because Proverbs says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And sometimes we think of ourselves as winning souls. But I'll tell you honestly, I've probably never won a soul in my life. You know who won them? The one working just behind me when I was at work. The one who was working through me. The one who was coming out inside of me. The tree right here. It says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Who is the one that hung on the tree of life? It's Jesus Christ. It is his fruit. He brings forth the fruit unto the Father. He's the one that has the wisdom to win a soul. You know, so often when I'm talking to someone, I may say the wrong thing. Jesus will never say the wrong thing. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Never an idle word. Always the right word for the right moment. You know, I've turned off some souls in my attempt to witness to them. Now, just because I've turned them off and made a mistake doesn't mean God gave up on them. God waited again for another opportunity and another Christian to witness to them. And 3-4 years down the line, that guy gets saved. And he says, I remember you. You hollered at me on the street. You turned me off. I wasn't wise enough to win his soul, but God was in 3 years. Praise the Lord. I can sow seed. I can water. But only Jesus can win the soul and bring forth a harvest. He's the only one. You see in the very names of the cities of refuge, doctrinally, it's a portrait of Jesus Christ. Look at the next name in verse 7, which is Hebron in the mountain of Judah. Hebron means a company. And you read through the scriptures, you read of the company of the prophets. And then you read of the company of the priests. And then you read of the company of the nations. And then in the book of Hebrews, you read, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And here is the one sitting in the midst of the company of the nations and the priests and the prophets and the company of the angels, receiving all the praise. Hebron in heaven. It's the heavenly Lord. That city is named for the one in the midst. The one in the midst of the candlesticks. The one in the midst of the company. Folks, there's nothing going on at Grace and Truth if Jesus isn't in the midst.
Amen.
Bill can't win anyone. I can't win anyone. I can't perfect anyone. I can't even teach anyone if Jesus isn't here doing his work.
Amen.
You know who's building the church? Christ. He's in the midst of the company of Hebron. It is the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the innumerable company of angels. And Hebron is in the mountain of Judah. And Judah means praise. And if you ever go to the great Psalm, Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you look at Psalm 22, and you look at verse 22. And here's Jesus as he continues his prayer. And he says to his father, as he's coming to the end, ready to commend his spirit into his father's hands, he says, Father, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Hebron, company, congregation, Judah, praise. And here's Jesus Christ in the midst of the innumerable company of angels praising the Father. Teaching us to give glory to God. You know, I don't know how to worship right. I need Jesus to teach me.
Amen.
He's the only one that ever pleased the Father and gave perfect worship to God. In the next verse, back where we are in Joshua, these are the three cities inside the Promised Land. There are three cities just to the east of the Jordan River. And the Lord makes provision for those three. Now, this is amazing to me. This is amazing. These are the three tribes, or the 2.5 tribes, that would not go and enter the Promised Land. These are the 2.5 tribes that said, hey, we have lots of cattle. We'd like to stay over here where there's plenty of cattle. Now, did not God have a place for them inside the Promised Land? They remind you of the Christian. I want my salvation, but I don't want to come in here and serve you, Lord. I don't want to be in your will, but I'm happy to be saved.
Yeah.
You know how good God is? He said, I got a place for you. Isn't that amazing? God doesn't save based on your service. He saves based on your sin and your need. That's our God. Now, you talk to some Baptist pastors, it's a little different. That Baptist pastor won't save you unless you tithe and serve him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's wonderful. He's precious. He has what is something called grace. He's full of grace. Grace. Unmerited favor. 1993, someone who was completely unmerited showed up at the door of the city of refuge. Someone who had lived a life as a wretch and a self-centered man and full of sin. And I showed up at that door. out there. And the Lord heard my need. And he heard my confession. And he heard my cry. And he said, I'm going to save you. And I'll bring you in. And he didn't say, wait a second, before I let you in, Mike, are you going to serve me? Mike, are you going to tithe? Mike, you going to be faithful? Mike, you're not going to backslide in the future, are you? No conditions. Unmerited favor, unmerited grace.
Amen.
That's the Savior.
Amen.
Say, well, that only applied when you got saved. But now that you are saved, you better obey and live a righteous life. Let me tell you something. You can't live a righteous life.
Amen.
Right, brother. Amen.
If you could, Christ wouldn't have had to come and live it for you.
Amen.
And by the way, the same grace that saved you is the same grace that keeps you living a righteous life.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We have no good deeds, good merits, good works to bring unto the Lord. They're filthy rags, damn. We need Christ living in us. Look at these cities he has on the outside here, on the other side of Jordan by Jericho, eastward. They assigned in verse 8, Bezer. Bezer rhymes with my name, but it's different. Bezer means strong. Something I'm not. On a good day, I can lift 30 pounds. Now, this is not a good day. Bezer means strong. Again, we see in the very names a picture of our Savior. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 34, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause with strong prayers on our behalf.
Amen.
I've made a lot of mistakes. Before and even after the day of my justification. But my Redeemer is strong. And in my weakness, he pleads my cause. Jeremiah 50, verse 34. That he may give rest to the land. Sometimes this animated clay right here that's part of the land needs some rest. And it's his strength and his pleading that gives me rest. Bezer is strong. Where is Bezer? Well, Bezer is in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben. Now, you know the little B-E-N means son. Reu means behold. So Reuben means behold, a son. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And I, Daniel, saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And in Matthew we know the virgin brought forth the Son. They called his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins, because he's strong. He's our Redeemer. He will plead our cause thoroughly. Jeremiah 50, verse 34. You also see in the names, Ramoth in Gilead of the tribe of Gad. Ramoth. Ramoth means the height, the high place. And in Isaiah 57 it says, thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. All you need in the presence of God is humility and meekness. That's why the average American can't get it. He's stuck on himself. He's full of pride. He wants it his way. But the humble, meek, penitent, contrite, child of God says, Lord, I want it thy way. In the heights of Gilead, which means the strength. If I speak of strength, Job said, he is strong. And if I speak of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? Only the judge. It's appointed unto men once to die.
Amen.
And after this, the judgment. And the avenger of blood is chasing them. And the only hope they have is to come to the city of refuge, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last city of refuge is a place called Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. Golan means a free pass, like a passage, a passage that has no obstructions in it, a free pass. Bashan is to be fruitful also. It's like a Ephraim. And Manasseh means to be forgetful. So I have a free pass to a place where there's fruit and there's forgetfulness. Jesus answered them in the Gospel of John chapter 8 and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, in this free pass, ye shall be free indeed. You'll be free to forget the past and free to be fruitful as you go forward, putting those things behind. I press forward to the mark of the high prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus on an unobstructed free pass.
Amen.
Through the goodness and the grace of God. There's no question that these cities of refuge are a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody says, but wait a second. Wait a second. It says that this man's only safe, verse 6. And he shall dwell in the city until he stand before the congregation for judgment and until the death of a high priest in those days. The death of a high priest changed things. So wait a second. What about our high priest? Folks, Jesus never died as the high priest.
Amen.
Jesus died as the prophet.
Amen.
Upon the moment of his resurrection, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews. Go to Hebrews, I'll show you. Chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Saying, look, the average high priest that God made in the nation Israel was just a man. And so that man could understand what other men went through, because he had infirmities of his own. He had sins of his own. There were no sinless high priests in the Old Testament. Aaron sinned. Zadok sinned. Josiah sinned. Joshua sinned. They were just mortals. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, notice, verse 3, by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. He better make an offering for himself. Jesus never had to make an offering for himself. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.
Amen.
He was without sin. Watch, continue. Verse 4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. You couldn't be a high priest unless you were called of God.
Amen.
You can't be an apostle unless you're called of God. You couldn't be a prophet unless you were called of God.
Amen.
can't be an evangelist or a pastor teacher unless you're called of God.
Amen.
A man can't take one of those offices to himself. If he does, he is playing with fire.
Amen.
He will burn not only those around him, he will burn himself. These are offices called of God all through Old and New Testament. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. That's not his birth. Christ is begotten three times in the scriptures. He's begotten as the prophet in Bethlehem. He's begotten as the high priest on the day of the resurrection when he ascended before his Father. Touch me not. I have not ascended to my Father. When he ascended before the Father and he made the offering, Thou art the high priest. Guess how often he lives? Forever.
Amen.
He didn't die as the high priest. He died as a prophet. He lives forever as the high priest. He lives forever as the king.
Amen.
You in that city of refuge, you're good forever. You're not returning to your old lifestyle. When the high priest died, the guy left the city of refuge, went back to his old ways. Not here. You're in the city of refuge forever because this high priest didn't die in. Good deal. I want to be in the city of refuge. I need the refuge. Doctrinally, it's a portrait of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He was appointed by God. Just like pastors, teachers, apostles, it was an appointment made of God. He was announced in the scriptures. He was accessible to all because he's the God of the gospel of Christ is to the Jew, also to the Greek. And he's adequate to meet the needs. What are your needs? The cities of refuge are a portrait, doctrinally, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we've studied them historically. We've studied them doctrinally. Is there any practical application for us besides the doctrine of being saved? Thankfully, there is. The names also help us to get the practical application. What are the cities of refuge today? For you, child of God, now that you're in Christ, what are the practical cities of refuge? Well, you're going to find out there are three inside the promised land, and there are three just a little east of the promised land. What are they? The first one was Kedesh, holy, in Naphtali, wrestling. What's that a portrait of? That's a portrait of 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. Telling Timothy how to order the church. He exhorts him in this first part of this chapter. He says, look it, when you come together, I exhort supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all in authority. He's talking about wrestling in holy prayer. A city of refuge today is when we get into holy wrestlings with God in prayer corporately as the body of Christ. Corporate prayer, bearing one another's burdens, wrestling together like we did tonight. We gathered together in a prayer meeting where the saints of God got together, where Jesus is building his church. As was their custom, they gathered with one accord together in prayer and in supplication. The city of refuge for you, church, child of God, is gathering in a local church with other believers together praying to Christ where he's in the midst.
Amen.
Say, I can do that at home. I'll show you that. There's a place where you can do that east of Jordan. But inside the promised land, it's the holy wrestling of God's children in corporate prayer together. This is needful. Churches are falling apart because they no longer have prayer nights.
Amen.
We need prayer. We need intercession. We need supplication. We need it one for another. We need it for those we're witnessing to. We need it for the missionaries on the field. This is what we need. This is one of the cities of refuge for the child of God. Those who skip these meetings miss some rest that they're due in their salvation.
Amen.
They're missing, and the Avenger of Blood will chase them. And he'll trouble them outside. And you will have more rest when you come into this holy wrestling together with the brothers and the sisters. God has given it to us. He showed Timothy right there. You pray all through here. What are you praying for? He says that we may lead a quiet, a peaceable life in godliness and honesty. What is it, one of the things we pray for? Look, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. What do you think he was praying for the kings for? So they would get more money in the treasury? He was praying for the king to get saved. He was praying for those in the governors and authority to get saved. We come together and we take our prayer requests for the missions, for the brethren, but we take them for the lost. And we wrestle in holy prayer on their behalf. Because they can't wrestle for themselves. They know not how to pray. They've been taught wrong. Before I was saved, I did Hail Marys. What is that going to do for me or anyone else? Mary is physically dead. She can't hear a duck quack. She couldn't hear me pray. She can't hear a lost man pray. But when we come together, obeying what God said, Timothy, tell your church to get together. Look, there's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We need to pray to bring them to that mediator. We need to pray for God to work on their heart. Verse 8, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. We come into every place, Timothy, you set up an assembly, and men should be praying there. That's one of the cities of refuge, practically. Church prayer meetings is a city of refuge for God's people. Isn't it a blessing to come to a prayer meeting and be able to give a request and have 30 other people take it down and pray with you for it? That's a city of refuge. Here's all the people of the city. I've heard your cause. Come in. Let me provide a place for you. One of the cities of refuge, practically, for you and for me. Another city of refuge, found in that seventh verse in Joshua chapter 20. And remember, you know, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Our prayer wrestling meetings, we're wrestling with spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord, help this wickedness get out of his life so he can see the gospel. Stop the devil from blinding his mind, because a blinded mind can't see. We're the only ones that can pray for that for them. If we don't stand in the gap, who can? Who will? You go back in the book of Proverbs. Before we go back to Joshua, stop at Proverbs chapter 31. I'll give you a command. If you're a member of the body of Christ, Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Lemuel means aiming toward God. It means aiming toward the brightness of God. What, my son, the son of my womb, the son of my vows. What's that mean? The son of my womb, my physical son, the son of my vows, my born-again spiritual son that took the same vow I did. Okay, here's a mother that led the child to the Lord. It says, listen, don't give your strength to women, nor to the ways that destroy king. Keep away from women, keep away from wine. But listen, I want you to do this. Verse 8, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. They can't. They can't pray for themselves. We pray for them. If someone hadn't prayed for me, someone started praying for my salvation back in 1978. Now, it took 15 years of prayer, but I got saved.
Amen.
When I got saved and my father told me who that man was, I went and drove and visited him and said, thank you for praying for me for 15 years. I don't know, some goofy teachings about not praying for lost people. I don't know where that comes from. It's not Bible. That's another spirit.
That's right.
All right, that's one of the cities of refuge we have. Another city of refuge that we have practically, the second one in verse 7, Shechem in Mount Ephraim. Shechem means the shoulder. The shoulder that bears fruit. Mount Ephraim is fruit. What is that? The shoulder is putting our shoulder to the service of God. Get in the yoke with me. Do you know where the yoke rested? On the shoulders. Not on the neck, it would break the neck. The yoke went around the neck, but it rested on the shoulders. And it was there that the ox did his plowing. And that represents the service in the local church. Doing the work of the ministry. Serving together in a local church. God does not save lone wolf Christians. He saves sheep to be put in a fold and trains them to labor together. And that is a place of refuge. How do I know that? I've tried to labor alone. What a blessing it is to have the brothers and sisters co-laboring with me. Many hands make light work. It's a city of refuge for you and for me, that we may labor, that we may enter into His rest. Paradoxical. But just like the wrestling match, how do you win? You give up, you win. How do you get rest? You labor. Say, I don't understand. Who cares? Believe it and follow. I don't understand a lot of things, but I know it works. I testify, it works. Yes, this is the city of refuge, the local church that labors together and prays together. These are two of the cities of refuge that God's given inside the promised land. Remember, I told you this represents the will of God in here. This is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in here. Out on the other side, east of Jordan, you may be saved in the good will of God, but you're missing so much more that God has for you. Another city of refuge we have practically for us is at the end of verse 8, or verse 7. It says, Hebron in the mountain of Judah. I told you, Hebron means a company. The company of angels, the company of prophets, the company of priests. And Judah means praise. You want to know what that is? Go to two Psalms. Go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Look at the words. Yes, there are practical cities of refuge for the child of God today, and sadly, he does not flee to them, and the Avenger of Blood is accusing him and beating him up outside the city of refuge, and he could be in it. I wonder about modern Christianity. I love the Church of the Living God. I love the refuge I have here. I love the fellowship of the saints. To have a corporate prayer time, to have service together. When we go out and serve on Wednesday, we go out and serve on Saturday, we come together and we serve the Lord in worship and praise. What a blessing that is. Look at the third one, Psalm 68. Hebron means company. Verse 11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Hebron was the company in Mount Judah, which means praise. Go to Psalm 56. Judah means praise. Psalm 56. Watch these two verses in a King James Bible. Verse 4. In God, I will praise His word. Go down to verse 10. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. Amen. You know what one of the cities of refuge is? Is that book you're holding in your hand. Amen. The Holy Bible. The King James Holy Bible. Psalm 68, verse 11. Great was the company of them that published it. I mean, that book has been published for you and me. By the way, you go back to that 11th verse. in Psalm 68? It's got 14 words and two punctuation marks. That's 16, 11. Psalm 68, 16, 11. And you can praise that thing. And that book has been given to the church. It's right here in the Promised Land. That's a city of refuge. You tell me. I can tell you how many times I have fled to this city of refuge in my life. I've come to this city of refuge in every way imaginable. Times when I've sinned and I've run to this book and opened this book and read about the sin and read about the cure for the sin and got down and asked the Lord for forgiveness. Times when I've had trouble, whether it be trouble at the workplace, trouble with the family, which thankfully I don't have. I have a good wife. But with other family members, trouble out on the streets, no matter what, and get home to this city of refuge and to flee into this place right here, into the company of the words that have been published, and I praise Him and thank Him for this book.
Amen.
This is a city of refuge. Amen. This Holy Bible, practical, accessible anytime. It's on a hill. It's lit up. 24 hours a day, the gates are open. Ready to welcome you in anytime. Anywhere. Nothing going to separate me from this city of refuge. He'll tell you a story. I was in Mexico. No way, man. That's my city of refuge. Got to have this. Corporate prayer. Corporate service. And the Word of God. All three magnificent cities of refuge in the Promised Land. Boy, the blessings we have. The spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we're too busy running around worried about a buck. Serving mammon. God help us. This Laodicean, you are rich and increased with goods. We get blind and miserable and wretched, naked, and there are cities of refuge waiting for us. And not only that, He's got three cities on the outside. Take a look at these, Joshua 20. The goodness of God. Verse 8. You've got Bezer. On the other side, Jordan. They assigned Bezer. Notice where it is. It's in the wilderness. It's upon the plain out of the tribe of Judah. It's Bezer. Bezer is strong. And Reuben is behold a son. What's that a portrait of? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. When you're outside the Promised Land, maybe you're alone in the wilderness out there, away from the corporate prayer service, away from the corporate church, maybe even away from your Bible, and you're out there somewhere. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Behold a son, Reuben means. Therefore, thou therefore, my son, Bezer means strong, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. You can appropriate and draw grace from Jesus Christ any place, anytime, yeah, even outside the church. And you're going to need it out there in the wilderness. You're going to need it out there. You're saved by grace. You're kept by grace. You will one day be transformed and raptured by grace.
Amen.
Not your good works or your righteousness. And when you're out in the wilderness out there, you be strong in the grace that's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you can appropriate that out there east of Jordan. And there's going to be some times we're out there east of Jordan. And praise the Lord, there's grace in the wilderness. That's a city of refuge. Boy, I need grace. I tell you, sometimes when I was at the hospital, and you're working, and you're getting at the end, man, you are at the end. You're tired, and you're looking just, okay, one more case. I can go home. This has been a long day. And then all of a sudden, the emergency room calls. What? Two more cases? Fractured hips? Oh, my goodness. 3 hours each. I got another 6 hours of surgery here. I'm in the wilderness. Grace. Grace. And it was there, a little city of refuge in the midst of that wilderness of confused, lost, angry, wrathful people. What a blessing. God's good.
Amen.
That grace reaches everywhere.
Amen.
Why would anyone want to reject the grace of God? Why would you want any other remedy other than God's grace? The name of this church is Grace and Truth.
Amen.
And you know what will stand up there with Jesus Christ is grace. I need it. You need it. They out there need it. And that's what we preach, is grace. And that's the well we draw from. Thank goodness there's grace in the wilderness. The other provision he has for the outside, he says, there's Ramoth in Gilead. Ramoth in Gilead. Ramoth means the height. Gilead means strong rock. And Gad, it says Ramoth in Gilead, and I think he says it's out of the tribe of Gad. And Gad means a troop, a small grouping of people, a troop. Here's what that's a portrait of. Ephesians 3, verse 18. Outside of church, we can get a small troop, a group of people, and we can ascend the heights on the rock of fellowship. Kitchen table Bible studies. Sitting around the living room talking about the Lord. Fellowship. My life has been made up of so much fellowship from the time of my salvation. Home Bible studies. Living room Bible studies. Sitting around talking about the Lord. Driving in the car talking about the Lord. Little fellowship groups ascending the heights of the rock. Has a troop of God's people, Ephesians 3, 18, you know, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height. Ramoth means the height. And in fellowship, as we begin to see the height and know the love of Christ, as one brother tells me what Christ has done in his life, and his sister tells me, and I tell, hey, you know, look what I found in the Bible, and we're just ascending and smiling and having a good time together, fellowship. The fellowship we can have outside of this building. It sure beats any other way to spend time. I love Tuesday night Bible studies. I love these Bible studies we get together. Opportunities for fellowship. I love them. These fellowships outside of the church proper itself. I mean, God has allowed, you can get together with a brother from another church, or a brother, a missionary comes in out of town. Fellowships. A troop. Climbing the rock, getting up to the heights, learning the love of God. What a city of refuge. Sometimes we settle for second best. Hey, you want to go to a movie? Hey, come on. How about we just sit down and let's read a couple of chapters out of the book of Philippians. Let's fellowship. City of refuge. The avenger of blood's outside, beating at the door, and the Lord's keeping them out. Leave them alone. They're fellowshipping.
Amen.
I'm protecting them.
Right.
These are my people here. Run along down the road, sonny. Go accuse someone else. And another one, the last one, in verse 8. He says, and you also have Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. I told you, Golan means a free pass. And Bashan means fruitful, and Manasseh means forgetful. And here's what that means, and this is something only you can do alone. You can't do this with someone else. Psalm 51, verse 12. Something you got to do. This is something you got to do alone. I understand we get corporate prayer, but Psalm 51 and verse 12. This psalm, you know this psalm. This psalm is the psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba and sinned. And this is a psalm of confession. And as far as I can tell, every saint I've met needs some confession.
Amen.
I know I do. And let me tell you, I am not ashamed to confess to my Lord Jesus. Because I'm not ashamed of His gospel, and I need His grace.
Amen.
And so I go. Hey, when you get dirty, do you go wash up? Do you like carrying dirt around? You know, today I was changing some ink on that beautiful printer that Brother Scott gave me, and I'm spilling it all over my hands, and I'm getting ink up, and there's still some here. And you know what I did? As soon as I got it in there, best I could, I ran to that sink and washed, and I got 98% of it off. There's still a little left. I don't like dirt. I don't like stains. I don't like smudge marks. You know what happens when we sin? As scarlet. As crimson. But you know what we do? We run like Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God. Why should I have mercy on you? Because I'm a good Christian, according to my righteousness, according to the practical way I live my life. No, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness.
Amen.
According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Not according to the 30 tracts I passed out yesterday, and the 3 people I led to the Lord, and the $1,000 I gave to the missionary. No, according to thy loving kindness and thy mercy. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. You know the city of refuge here? This city of refuge, it's the free pass of confession that you have access to as a child of God. Yes, yes. It's a free pass. Go to go. Start all over again.
Amen.
Yes, you can start all over again.
Amen.
Yes. You know, those cheap little things of free pass, get out of hell free. You know, look, you want to know, child of God? You're not lost. You're saved. You know what you have? You got a free pass. Go right back to the beginning. Get right back to go.
Amen.
Start all over again. You know what happens? Manasseh, forget. God forgets. He forgets. You go to confession, God forgets. You know what happened when God forgets? Verse 12. He restores the joy of thy salvation. And then what happens? Verse 13. Then I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners are converted unto thee, and I bring forth fruit. Because Manasseh is forgetful, but Bashan is fruitful. And when I take the free pass of personal confession and God casts those sins as far as the east is from the west and throws them in the lake behind me, I get joyful again and what a good God I have. And I tell someone, hey, what a great God.
Amen.
What a great God. He saved me, He'll save you. What a great God. He forgives me, He'll forgive you. You mean I got a license to go out and sin? Even if you do, you got a free pass to get it forgiven. Yes, this is good, man. This is gold. This isn't fool's gold. This is the real thing. And I get fruitful with the joy of my salvation. Look what we have in the cities of refuge. We have the service of the church together as we bear the shoulder and get in the yoke with Jesus. We have the corporate prayer as we come together and bear one another's burdens. We have the Word of God because the great was the company that published it and gave it to us, and we can praise His Word. And out there, we can have grace in the wilderness when we're all alone. And we can have fellowship with the saints away from the church. And we can always have the closet of confession where the Lord will forget our sins and make us fruitful again. Cities of refuge. What a deal. You know, when we got saved, it's better than we ever imagined. We don't know the half of it. And the Lord has given to us these cities practically, just as He gave them historically to these Jews and fulfilled them all prophetically and doctrinally in Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ balancing these cities of refuge in both hands to His people. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and today for all the children of God, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stands before the congregation, and one day the trumpet will sound, and we will stand before the congregation of God, and we will fall down, and we will say, worthy is the Lamb to receive all glory and honor and blessing and praise, for he hath redeemed us by the blood of his Son. What a blessing. Cities of refuge. Why don't we flee to one today?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Thank you for the cities of refuge you've provided for us practically. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the High Priest, the Good Shepherd, the King of Kings. Lord, help us. Help us. We need thy grace. We are needy people. We are meek and humble and contrite. I pray you'll bless every heart that came tonight. Fill them with the grace of God so they too may go forth and bring salvation to others in the glorious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.